Discouragement is a great problem wherever you go. And it's amazing what people will do when they are discouraged that they would not otherwise do. You see it continually. Many a time, you see people making friends. A guy goes and gets a girlfriend with somebody that just should not be together. And you look at it, and it's because overall in his life, he's just discouraged. And he's doing things. He's hanging out with people he shouldn't hang out with. And that's an example I see a lot, because I'm at the age where that's a lot what I look around and I see all the people my own age and my own peers doing that sort of thing. So, but it's everywhere. People do things when they're discouraged that they would not otherwise do. So it's important for us to keep courage. And I'm intending to talk about courage and discouragement this morning from multiple different angles. But before we get into that, let me start with a word of prayer. Father, again, I just pray that you would be with us this morning. I pray that you would just give me a clear mind and help me to speak this clearly and in a way that I can actually get these thoughts and this scripture across to these people. Father, that we would all be blessed. Amen. I'm going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to read quite a number of lengthy passages of scripture this morning, and so you'll have to just forgive me if you get a little lost while I'm doing a lot of reading. You'll have to forgive me for that. I'm going to start in verse 19 of Deuteronomy chapter 1, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all that great and terrible wilderness which we saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us. And we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And he came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, that they may search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came unto the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the ways that ye went, until ye came unto this place. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out the place, to pitch your tents in by fire by night, and to show you the way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and sware, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it. And to him will I give the land which he hath trodden upon unto his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go up, shalt not go in thither. But Joshua the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither. and unto them will I give, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then he answered and said unto me, We have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when ye had girded on every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go unto the hill. And the Lord said unto me, Say unto them, Go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and ye would not hear, but rebelled against the command of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill. And the Amorites which dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do, and destroyed you in Seir, even unto Hormah. And ye returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. So ye abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that ye abode there. We turn to the next book, read the first few verses of the book of Joshua. We have a completely different story. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness unto and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And again, something that I've been emphasizing a lot recently is taking the scripture in context, applying the verses to you that actually apply to you. And that's why I read the first, that passage out of Deuteronomy, and then this passage in the book of Joshua. Because we as human beings, we get discouraged very easily. We don't have to even have a reason to be discouraged. We just get discouraged. And so when we're discouraged, we all want to turn to Joshua, and we like to read this verse, number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And we automatically apply this to ourselves. But that isn't necessarily correct. Sometimes we need to take the verses that were said to the children of Israel and apply them to us. Sometimes we have to take, go not up, neither fight, for I'm not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. These verses are both in the Bible. Why do we as human beings automatically assume that the good one applies to us and the other one doesn't? Let's be honest now. What is your situation? Why are you discouraged? The children of Israel were not godly people that just happened to get discouraged this day and just didn't think they could fight and went not up. This was their lifestyle. They left Egypt. They got to the Red Sea. And Psalm 106 says they provoked him at the Red Sea. Oh, what are we going to do? You guys all remember the story. I don't have to go into very much detail. But they provoked him at the Red Sea. Then they got into the wilderness, and it wasn't very long before they lusted for meat. Like, what's this manna that we've been eating all this time? We want meat. So God says, okay, you want meat? I'll send you meat. It rained quails till they were 3 feet deep. And then they gorged themselves on this meat. And Psalm 106 again tells us that God gave them their desire and sent leanness to their soul. And that wasn't it. They envied Moses and Aaron. They say, are you the only people that know God? Why are you guys so important? You remember Dathan and Abiram? Yeah, think of the guys' names. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed some of these people. The earth couldn't bear to have such people on the surface of the earth. Moses spent some time up in the mountain, and they're like, whatever happened to this Moses that brought us out of the land of Egypt? Said to Aaron, make us a god. So Aaron says, okay, give me all your earrings and all your gold, and he puts it in the pot, and the way he says is, I put it in the pot, and this calf came out. But, you guys remember the story? After all this, this is when they despised the promised land. This was their lifestyle. I am here to tell you boldly, if you are living a lifestyle as these people, don't even read these verses in Joshua. Go to Deuteronomy. Deal with them first. Then go to Joshua next. These people disobeyed because that's who they were. They simply were not living for God. So when we are discouraged, there's a couple main answers that we want. All right. That's not the way to say it. There's two directions we can turn to find our answer. We can turn to the promises of God, or we can turn to anything else. Anything else. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 41, then ye answered and said unto me, we have sinned against the Lord. This sounds good, right? Admitting their sin. We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when he had girded off every man his weapons of war, ye were ready to go up into the hill. Verse 42, and the Lord said unto me, say unto them, go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest ye be smitten before your enemies. False encouragement. Presumption. False encouragement. And they even made it sound good. They started with, we have sinned. But it wasn't based on the promises of God. That's important. What are you encouraging yourself in? Is it the promises of God? If it's not the promises of God, and I'm saying not, it must be the promises of God in context. Have you actually met the requirements for the promise? There are very few promises that you will find that don't immediately before or after have conditions. Have you met those conditions and then are claiming that promise for your own encouragement? That is real encouragement. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. So, we need real encouragement, and it must be founded on the promises of God. And so we need to open ourselves up before God and before His Word and look at these circumstances and say, what applies to me? Be strong and of a good courage. That is what applies when we have met the conditions. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. something that I have found very helpful is just this simple idea that you can sometimes lose every battle and still win the war. Those of you who are very familiar with world history might remember the name Hannibal. Hannibal was from Carthage, which is North Africa, and at this time, about 240 some years before the time of Christ, there was two empires that were on the rise that were major enemy empires, and one of them was going to take over and be world dominant. The one was the Syrophoenicians, and the other was the Romans. And so, if you remember the word, the Punic Wars, there was the first and the second Punic Wars. Hannibal was the main general and leader of the second Punic Wars. He took elephants and a whole bunch of soldiers, marched them from North Africa, around Spain, over the Alps, and down the Naples Peninsula into Rome, Italy, and won every single battle. Every time he ever met up with the Romans, he won. Never lost a battle. He controlled a large portion of Italy for 15 years. Something started happening in his homeland. He had to get up, go back to North Africa, lost all the ground, was defeated in North Africa, lived in exile large portions of the rest of his life, was defeated. Won every single battle, and he still lost the war. Rome rose to the top, became the dominant world power. And that can happen in the Christian's life. Sometimes we look around and we feel like everything that comes at us, we lose. We're losing every single battle. But we know how the war ends. We know what's happening in the end. If you truly are saved and truly are surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and are truly His servant, you know the end of the story. And we will win the war, even if you are presently losing the battles. So, in that, again, I just want to say, take courage. Be strong and of a good courage. For the Lord, He it is that shall fight for us. And next, I want to go over the same ground again from a different angle, looking at three main people: Elijah, Ahab, and David. The story in Elijah is way too long. I would like to read three full chapters, but rather, I'm just going to try to tell the story a little bit. Hopefully I can find these places. I think you guys all know the story pretty well. Elijah comes to Ahab and says, "It's not going to rain until I say that it will." And it rained not. The heavens closed up, not even dew fell on the ground. And God says to Elijah and says, "Go to the brook Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there." He goes to this brook. He lives by this brook, and the ravens come every morning and every evening, and they feed him. And he drinks the water from the brook. But it's not too long, and the brook dries up. Then God says, "Go on to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to feed you there." So he goes to Zarephath, and he meets this woman picking up a few sticks, and he says to her, "Give me something to drink." And when she's going to get it, she says, "Make me something to eat too." She says, "All I have is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I was just gathering these sticks to make something for me and my son to eat. He says, make me something first. And that oil will never fail, and that meal will never run out. And it was true. It happened that way. Then this son gets sick and dies. And Elijah takes this boy to another room. He calls out to his God. God raises this boy from the dead. And he brings him back to his mom, a living son. Then God comes to Elijah and says, go find Ahab. I'm going to send rain again. So he goes and he finds Ahab, and he gathers all Israel together on top of Mount Carmel. And he says, you guys make your sacrifice, get it ready, and call on your gods. And I'll call on my God. And whichever God answers by fire from heaven is the true God. They're like, this is a great idea. So there's the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the groves were all together and they made the sacrifice. And all day they called out to God and they cut their gods, I should say, and they cut themselves till the blood gushed out. And at noon, Elijah mocks him. He says, he's a god. He must just be sleeping, or maybe he went for a walk or something. Cry louder. Nothing happens. At the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah puts together his sacrifice and he digs a trench around the altar. He has them pour 12 barrels of water on it. Remember, it hadn't rained. I don't know where he got his water, but he found it somewhere. He knew that it was going to rain, so he didn't mind wasting water on it. 12 barrels of water. And he stands back and he says, God, let it be known that you are the God of Israel. God answers by fire. Licks up the water and the stones and the wood and the sacrifice. It was gone in the dust, it says. Then he goes on Mount Carmel and he prays for rain. He says, sends his servant to look. I think two or three times, and second or third time the servant comes back and says, there's a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising out of the sea. And he says, go, the rain's coming. Goes and tells Ahab, get to the city, it's going to rain. So Ahab's in a chariot, and the rain's coming down so fast, and the Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he ran, and he beat Ahab in the chariot to the city. And he killed all the prophets of Baal. And after victory, 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 one after the other, Jezebel, the queen, comes to Elijah and says, you've killed all my prophets. And if I don't do that to... He says, let the gods do to me what you have done to my prophets if I don't kill you. And Elijah up, runs off. Says he walks a day's journey into the woods and he lays down under a juniper tree and says, God, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. What is wrong with this man? Victory after victory after victory, and then he lays down under a juniper tree and says, God, take away my life because I'm not better than my father's because a woman says she's going to kill him. We don't understand. But I'll tell you what's wrong with this man. It's the same thing that's wrong with you and the same thing that's wrong with me. Is not that what James says? When he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That's what's wrong with Elijah, the same thing that's wrong with you, and the same thing that's wrong with me. And I'll guarantee you that if you stop and you look into your life and realize why are you discouraged, you'll find just as ridiculous of things as Elijah had. That's why you're discouraged. You're a man subject to like passions. The next thing you know, God comes to Elijah. He says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Here, let me turn there and read it. While he was under that juniper tree, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." This is where Elijah went wrong. When God comes to you and says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Don't defend yourself. That's what I'm saying. "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Face up to it and say, "I don't know." Don't defend yourself. You know, it only takes the smallest things for us to get discouraged. One of the easiest ways to get discouraged is if you are trying to please somebody that you feel like you cannot please. Or if you feel like it is your duty to do something you cannot do. And on these two notes, I can't but stop and deal with this in relation to God. Because you've probably all had a job somewhere where your boss required things of you that you couldn't accomplish. And you just get so discouraged so quickly, and before you know it, you realize you're not even trying at your work because you're discouraged. Or sometimes you just feel like you can't please your boss, so you get discouraged. And that's been good for me to realize with some people that have worked under me. And this one girl, I told her that if she couldn't change a few things, if she couldn't be reliable, we were going to have to fire her. And next thing I know, she's just worse. And then later I tell her, "I don't want to. You do good work when you're here. I don't want to fire you." And she changed. I haven't had a problem since. Why? She was just discouraged. She didn't think she could please me. So she didn't. What's your relationship with God? Do you feel like you can't please God? This is two of the biggest issues where Christians get discouraged in their Christian life. They don't think they can please God. They don't think they can do the things that God has asked them to do. That's not my sermon today, but I'm just going to throw that out there. If that's you, we'll have to talk after. Turn your thoughts to Christ and His work. Rest yourself in His work for you. And that's true courage. True courage comes from the promises of God. True courage comes from Christ and what He's done for you. And then this brings me next to Ahab. False courage. If we turn to 2 Chronicles, we find one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. 2 Chronicles, chapter 18. And again, I don't think I have time to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to at least glance through it and see if I can jog my own mind as to what I need to bring out. This is a story. Jehoshaphat and Ahab get together. They decide they're going to fight a war together at Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab gets all of his prophets together and inquires of them. And they say, go up, for you're going to prosper. But Jehoshaphat is a godly king, and he asks, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we could inquire of? And Ahab says, there's one, but I don't like him, because he never says anything good about me. So he says, Jehoshaphat says, call him up. Let's inquire. So they send and they get Micaiah. They bring him here. And they ask him, what's the Lord say? And he says, go up, for you're going to prosper. And Ahab says, how many times do I adjure thee that thou sayest nothing but the word of the Lord? And then he says, I see Israel as sheep scattered without a shepherd. In other words, he's saying, you're going to die. You're going to go there and you're not going to come back. And Ahab turns to Jehoshaphat and says, see, is not this what I said? He never says anything good about me. They decide to go anyway. Here, the word of the Lord is, if you go, you're going to die. But Ahab used 400 prophets to encourage himself to do what he wanted to do. And he went and he did it. And he died there. What do you use? He used 400 false prophets. The world recommends us using self-help affirmations. Many Christians misuse the promises of God. That's what I was just talking about earlier. What do you do? When you find yourself discouraged, needing to be encouraged, how do you do it? What source do you turn to? I'm here to tell you the promises of God. Lay your feet nowhere else. You may be able to encourage yourself and go and do something, but what good does that encouragement do if you die when you get there? What Ahab needed to do for real encouragement was get on his knees and repent before God. That's what he needed for real encouragement. And then, David, man after God's own heart. Let's take a look at how he dealt with discouragement. Read the first 8 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3. This isn't looking right. Must be 2 Samuel. Nope. Don't know how I did that. Ooh, here we go. 30. I didn't put my zero in there. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And here's the thing. In this horrible trial, realizing everything has disappeared, we read, But David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the interesting thing about this is that comes before the promise was given that he was going to recover all. Many a times when we are facing such a situation, we wait for a promise of complete recovery before we endeavor to just encourage ourselves in the Lord. David did that first, and that's very important, because the reality is, not everything turns out right in this life. If we are going to wait for things to turn out right before we find encouragement in the Lord, we will always be discouraged. It did turn out right for David that time, but it might not for you. We have to learn to be okay with things not being okay in light of an eternal weight of glory. You know, let's just take a man whose girlfriend left him and his dog died and his cat ran away. And the neighbor comes over and says, Oh, it'll be okay. Be okay? It's already not okay. And that sort of a situation when somebody comes to you, you try to be nice and thank them for their, quote, encouragement. Well, you really wanted to smack them because it's not okay. And we know it. And we as Christians must learn to look to eternity and understand that a day is coming when things will be okay. Even though this is not. We don't have to convince ourselves that something is okay when it's not okay. We have to learn to be thankful through it. We have to learn to trust God through it. We have to learn to encourage ourselves in the Lord through it. If you're sick and about ready to die on your deathbed and I were to come to you and say, Take courage. What? You're dying. It's going to mean nothing to you. But if I were to come to you and tell you a doctor's coming and in 10 minutes he will be here and you will be on your way to a recovery, you might start recovering before the doctor got there because of the encouragement. And that's the way we need to look at this life. Many a time we are discouraged simply because we put too big of an emphasis on the here and now. We are discouraged because we let the dinky little things that go wrong every day discourage us, when we need to look to eternity. Set our affections on things above, where there is no moth to devour, where there is no rust to corrupt. What does Paul say? He says, If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. That's reality. That's truth. This isn't just an idea that's put forth in Scripture for us to have in our books of theology. It's reality. If you look at this life only, if your hope is for this life only, you will be a miserable person. We must learn to say with Paul, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We can't change our feelings, but we can change circumstances. If you have a broken leg, you can't decide that you're not going to hurt anymore. The only option is to do some things to get it healed as fast as you can, and it's going to hurt until then. If you are in a circumstance that is causing you to be discouraged, you can't just decide, you can't walk this room and decide you're never going to be discouraged again. Something has to change. And the majority of what is going to change is your outlook. Eternal things, earthly things. Let me close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for a steadfast hope of eternity. We thank you for the knowledge that everything will be okay in light of eternity. Amen.